All right, great song. Good singing tonight. Simple, sincere, and sound. And that's what we want to be. We want to be sincere in our worship. We can worship sometimes only with our mouths, but our heart be far from the Lord. And I got some echo and going. This one's still on? Okay, maybe that'd be better. I thought it was off. So Jesus recognized that folks were doing that in his day, and Isaiah did as well in his. But we want us to not be that way. We want to be sincere by the grace of God in our worship. That last song brought to mind Jesus' interaction with the woman at the well, where he told her, and I'm trying to locate the verse here, that if she would believe in him, that he had living waters to provide for her, because she came to the well to find temporary waters to satisfy her physically. But Jesus said there in John 4:11, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living waters." And then she said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" So Jesus is the living water. The Holy Spirit living within us is that, and Jesus is able alone to give that. Then we go to the end of the Bible in Revelation 22, and we see in that song that we just sang words that are found here. Because in Revelation 22, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So that certainly brought some scriptures to mind, the reality of the gospel in our lives and what Jesus has to provide for us that he alone can give. We can become thirsty, and we can do that physically and have that thirst quenched temporarily with water or whatever else you might drink. But Jesus alone is able to give us this water that will satisfy our soul for eternity. And the Bible, really, if you will understand the Bible, you have to understand what we've seen here tonight, that at the end of the Bible, we are back in essence in the garden. And if you can think about Genesis 1 and 2, where Adam and Eve were in the garden and had everything that they needed and desired, and God was there walking in the midst of the garden, and they fellowshipped with God. But yet, sin came into the world in Genesis 3, so that fellowship with God and that paradise was disrupted, and they were cast out of it. The Bible, biblical theology, is God working to bring people back into a relationship with him so that we now see his face, face to face. In the state that we are in currently, we cannot behold the image of God or the face of God because we would die. But God is making us a new creation in Christ Jesus, so that one day in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells, we will see him face to face. That's what that verse says. In verse 4 of Revelation 22, "They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Now, as we look at this in Revelation 22, or I'm reading it to you, but there's an invitation that's given here, and I want to remind you of that invitation tonight. Because in verse 17, here at the end of the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. And let him who thirsts and let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." You see, that's the message of the gospel that's being proclaimed by the church throughout the world until Jesus returns. And it's something that we remember in the Lord's Supper whenever we take that together. We're proclaiming the death of Jesus. And that through that death of Jesus Christ, lost sinners like all of us are, or were at one point, can be redeemed. We can be brought back into that right relationship with Jesus Christ. Just like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman had the opportunity to be right with God. Though she was a sinful woman, Jesus told her she had had five husbands. And he revealed her sin, and he knew it, but yet he received her if she would believe in him. And she did. Not only did she then go and testify to who Jesus was, but the Samaritan village then went out, and they believed in Jesus not because of what she said anymore, but because they themselves had encountered Jesus Christ. Jesus is able to give living water to the lost sinner. And the invitation at the end of the Bible is to come. How do you come? You come through faith in Jesus. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Jesus says there, or the scripture says, "For as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So there is this spiritual movement that is taking place in the lost sinner when they come to Christ, that God is drawing them to himself through the gospel, and they come to embrace that gospel by faith. And that's the thing I just want to take a moment to remind all of you about and encourage all of you in. Even if you tonight have not ever come to that place in your relationship with God, with the Lord, to where you have embraced the gospel by faith and Jesus has become your Savior. See, it's not enough for Jesus to be your mom and dad's Savior, or to be your grandpa or grandma's Savior, or to be your spouse's Savior. Jesus has to be your Savior. And can you say that about yourself tonight? That Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, you have received that by faith in him. And that's really the message of the gospel. That's the simplicity of it. However, I want to remind you that the gospel and that faith in Jesus, there's another side of that coin. And the other side of that coin is something that we call repentance. Have y'all heard of repentance before? I know most of you have. But the idea of repentance is that we can't continue to live the way we used to. When we embrace the gospel by faith, believe in Jesus, then our mind changes about our sin. And our mind changes about God. So as we were going one way in our lives, we have turned, done a 180, and we now desire to go toward God. That's what the Bible calls repentance. It is a change of mind that results in a change of action. Tonight we're going to be talking about, or Brother Aaron's going to be sharing with us a financial summary from 2022 here in a few moments. I'm about to be done, get off here so Aaron can get down to business. But, you know, we're going to see how the Lord's blessed over the year and provided for us. But that brings to my mind something that God did in my life when he saved me when I was 17 years old. Because up until that time, you know, I had pretty well just viewed money as, you know, my money. And my parents always gave us a little money to give in Sunday school when we would go to Sunday school, and that's kind of just what I always did. But when God saved me around the age of 17, one of the areas in my life where I noted repentance, as I look back on it, I didn't know it was then, but as I look back on it, I see it now. One of the areas was giving financially, because I just kind of gone through the motions. But after God saved me, my mind changed about it. Whereas I didn't care too much about it or want to give too much of my resources anymore, my mind changed so that now I began to question, how do I honor God with His blessings that He gives me in my life? And ever since that time, I have practiced trying to give biblically, faithfully. So that's just an example of repentance. Repentance may show up for children in obedience to their parents. For others, it may show up in the putting off of some sin that has been a habitual sin in their life. It may be the way that you talk, or it may even be the way that a person dresses or something like that. But repentance is something that is evident in all of our lives. If you'll look in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, I'll just bring you to this passage to show you what I'm talking about, to show you that I'm not just making that up about the opposite side of the same coin. Because the Apostle Paul, in writing to or talking to the elders of Ephesus here in Acts 20, actually addresses this directly. Acts chapter 20, in verse 19, as he speaks to the elders, he says in verse 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house." So Paul here is talking about his ministry in Ephesus for 3 years. Now in verse 21, this is what he was doing publicly and from house to house. In verse 21, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks. So in other words, he wasn't discriminatory, he wasn't discriminating. Only speaking to Jews or only speaking to Greeks, he would speak to anyone who would listen. And what was he saying? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the opposite sides of the same coin. But both of these are essential for salvation. And a biblical faith in Christ, where you embrace Him as your Savior, will have with it repentance. And you will then live a life in repentance toward God. That is the direction of your life. Now, Paul goes on from there in verses 22 and 23, and he says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But," in verse 24, "none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And that's what God's gospel is. It is a gospel of grace. For none of us are deserving of salvation. It is purely the grace of God. And in that area of salvation, if there's anyone here tonight, maybe you're sitting there thinking, "I'm not good enough to be saved." Listen, you can't be good enough to be saved. You have to realize how bad you are and that there is nothing you can do to save yourself. And when you come to that point in your life where you realize that you are desperate, that you are without anything to offer God, but that Jesus has done everything that is necessary for salvation, and that you know that, hey, I just want to believe in Jesus and trust Him, it's then that you're ready. So tonight I remind you of those things. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the gospel of Jesus that saves us and just radically changes our lives and continues to change our life. And Lord, I pray that we will remember that though Jesus was rich, he made himself poor, that we through him might become rich. And that is the grace of God. It is overwhelming and it is amazing. And I thank you that we can be reminded of it in our singing tonight, but also through your word. Father, I pray for anybody here who maybe hasn't ever embraced Jesus through faith. Maybe they've just been side-hugging Jesus, doing what they needed to look like a Christian, but they know they're really not a Christian. Lord, I just pray that that'd be revealed to them tonight, and that they would come before you as who they are, a lost sinner needing a Savior. And I pray, Father, that you would just, by your grace, draw them to yourself, and, Lord, give them faith and repentance. And I thank you, Lord, for everybody here who can say, God's already done that, and I've already embraced the Savior by faith. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for everybody who can say, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. In Jesus' name, amen.